بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We starting our post Fajr talk again after a break, after the holidays. الحمد لله. We starting again with the book of Imam al-Ghazali, as we have started to read this kitab some months back, and we completed quite a few chapters already. We did the chapter on Tahara, purification. We did the chapter on Salah, and we also did the chapter on Zakah. So the next chapter should be the chapter that speaks about fasting. This is where my bookmark is. My bookmark is here by fasting. This is the new chapter that we are supposed to start with. But inshallah, I will be delaying this chapter because fasting inshallah will be 2 months time. Allah give us Umar and give us the ability to read the month of Ramadan, inshallah. So closer to the time, I'll come back to the chapter of fasting so that it can be some refresher for us, reminder for us. So I'll skip the chapter of fasting for now, and I'm going over to the chapter of Hajj. Because that comes after fasting, comes the chapter of Hajj. So we'll read the chapter of Hajj, inshallah. And then when we are complete, then we'll start with the chapter of fasting. It will be then just prior to the entrance of the month of Ramadan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So the first thing that Imam al-Ghazali discusses with the chapter, under the chapter of Hajj, is Fadilatul Hajj. What is the virtue of this great ibadah of Hajj? We know, of course, that Hajj is one of the arkan of Islam. It is one of the things that is just as important as Salah and Zakah and fasting. Arkanul Islam bi khamsa. We learn this from our childhood already when we go to Madaris. The teachers would teach us that the arkan of Islam are 5: Shahada, Salah, Zakah, fasting, and Hajj. So without those 5 things, there is no Islam. In the one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Buniya al-Islamu ala khams." Islam was built upon these 5 things. Like a building. A building needs support, it needs pillars, it needs a structure. So the structure that upholds Islam are these 5 things, without which there will be no Islam. So there are many ayat that speak about Hajj. In fact, there is a whole chapter in the Quran that is named after the Hajj, Suratul Hajj, an entire chapter, which is in the 17th juz, that speaks about much of the detail of Hajj. And some of these ayat, well, of course, we will come across it. Then also there are quite a considerable amount of ayat in Suratul Baqarah that also speak about Hajj. Because as we know, Suratul Baqarah is the longest chapter in the Quran. And Suratul Baqarah contains a lot of the rulings of the ahkam of halal and haram. Because it is a surah that was revealed in Medina after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find the rulings of fasting, the rulings of Hajj, the rulings of business, the rulings of talaq and marriage. All of that, a lot of that is found in the chapter of Baqarah, Suratul Baqarah. So there's also many ayat that we will come across. Of course, the version that we are reading of Ihya Ulumuddin by Imam al-Ghazali is the shortened version. It's not the full version. So we won't come across everything, because what this person tried to do is he tried to make the book shorter and quicker so that we don't have to spend such a long time in going through the different concepts pertaining to the different ibadah. So the ayah that is quoted here first is the ayah in Suratul Hajj, where Allah Ta'ala instructs Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and says to him, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. Allah instructs Nabi Ibrahim and says to him, and this was after he had built the Kaaba, he and his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, they were instructed by Allah to rebuild the Kaaba. Right? The foundation of the Kaaba was already found, but they had to reconstruct the Kaaba. And after they had completed this, Allah Ta'ala had instructed Nabi Ibrahim and said to him, alayhi salam, and proclaim to people the Hajj. Call out to people about the Hajj. And of course, history tells us that when Allah Ta'ala told Nabi Ibrahim to do this, he was a bit concerned. He says, but who should I call to? Because at that time, he and Ismail and his family, they were the only ones practically that were living in the precincts of the Haram. He said, who should I call out to? Who's going to listen? listen to this calling. And Allah Ta'ala said to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, عَلَيْكَ الْأَذَانُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْبَلَاغُ. You call out, we will make sure that it will reach the people who it must reach. Allah Ta'ala is in charge of that. And that is why people that go on Hajj, they have been called by Allah Ta'ala. They've been accepted by Allah Ta'ala basically. It is only through the qudra of Allah that a person gets there. So he called out and Allah says to him, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا. They will come. They will come to you. رِجَالًا. Some of them will come on foot. And subhanAllah, this ayah is one of the miracles. We find that even up until today, people go Hajj on foot. Sometimes from very far away. There's stories like that. People from Bosnia, people from India, people from Pakistan. They walk for a whole year, for more than a year to come and perform the Hajj. Allah said, يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا. They will come to you by foot. وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ. And they will come on any other form of animal or transport. يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيرٍ. And they will come from all corners of the world, from all valleys, from all ravines. They will all come and they will perform the Hajj. And we know that this was the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala since the time of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Up until today, the sunnah is continuing, where people come and they visit the Holy Land and they do their pilgrimage. Yes, in the time of Jahiliyyah, just before Islam, there were still remnants of this ibadah that remained. People of Jahiliyyah still performed rituals, they performed Hajj. But because they were a long period away from the prophethood of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, a lot of things had crept into the ritual that was not part of it. So all the things that they used to do is they used to place idols at various points. Between Safa and Marwa, for example, they used to place their own idols there and make tawaf or make sa'i between the idols. So these are things that had crept in that wasn't part of Nabi Ibrahim's teachings. So our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came as the final Prophet, he came to rectify all of this once again and brought the Hajj back to its original form, the way that it should have been. But the point that I was trying to make is when Allah Ta'ala said they will come from every corner of the world and they will perform the Hajj, we find it that it was continuous from the time of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam up until today, and it will continue inshallah until the day of judgment. There will always be this ibadah of Hajj. Qala Qatada, lamma amara Allah 'azza wa jalla Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam an yu'adhdhina fi an-nas bil Hajj nada. When Allah Ta'ala commanded Nabi Ibrahim to call out for the Hajj, what did he call out? He said, أيها الناس إن الله عز وجل بنى بيتا فحجوا. O people, certainly Allah Ta'ala had built a house that he could be worshipped at, so حجوا, perform your Hajj. So this was his words that he called out to people. And look at the adab of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the statement of his. He says, Allah Ta'ala had built a house. He doesn't say, I build a house. I and my son build a house. He doesn't see the act that he did as his own. And this is always the adab we must have with Allah. When we achieve, when we do things, don't think it is us, don't think it is you. It's not you and I, it is Allah. Allahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amaloon. Allah says in the Quran, Allah has created you and He has created everything that you do also. It's only through the qudra of Allah that so He ascribes this towards Allah. He doesn't say, my son and I, we had to sweat and we had to, it was difficult for us and we had to sacrifice. He doesn't mention himself at all. He says, Allah built a house and performed the Hajj at this house. That's why we know when he built the house, when he built the Kaaba for the first time and they completed it, what did he say? When يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ. What was the two first dua that he made? He says, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah accept from us. This is something that you made possible for us. So accept this act of building this Kaaba, accept it from us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So there's many ayahs, as I said, they will come across when we discuss the various aspects of Hajj. And there's also many ahadith. So I'm just going to read one for today. وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ خرج من ذنوبه كيوم ولدته أمه. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this famous hadith, a person who sets out to perform the Hajj and he does not engage in obscene talks, he does not speak things that are vulgar, things that are out of place. He protects his tongue. And he does not commit any sinful acts when he is on Hajj. Because one of the main things that we will learn about the Hajj is that Hajj is there to teach us also self-restraint. The same way that fasting teaches us self-restraint, Hajj is also there to teach us that. So the person goes into Ihram. When he goes into Ihram, there's a lot of things that is out of limits that the person cannot do, that he ordinarily does. Stays away from that. It is to train that person to build a strong will in order to serve Allah and to obey the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hadith says a person who sets out on Hajj and he does not engage in vulgar talks, in wrongdoing, in obscene talk, etc. Kharaj min dhunubihi. What will be that person's reward for a Hajj that is performed like that? He will return back from that Hajj like a baby that was just born by its mother. Without any sins. All his sins would have been wiped away and wiped clean because of this Hajj that he did sincerely for the sake of Allah. And that shows us how great this ibadah is. That potentially when a person goes on Hajj, he comes back as a new person. And starts over new. Whatever he did in the past, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven. Allah had wiped his slate clean. So that is one of the great benefits of Hajj. We will see some of the other ahadith as well as we go along, what the benefits of Hajj is. And inshallah, maybe these talks, we can share it. It will be on the chat like we normally do. We can share it with people that are going on Hajj, especially nasiha for them, especially those who have made niyyah, those who have been accepted to go shortly. We can send it to them. They can also perhaps benefit from these nasaih pertaining to the Hajj. Allah make easy upon us and accept these efforts, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman, wa la taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu, rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. Rabbana la tu'akhidhna in nasina wa akhtana, rabbana wa la tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltahu ala alladhina min qablina, rabbana wa la tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bih, wa'fu 'anna waghfir lana warhamna anta mawlana fansurna 'ala al-qawmil kafirin. Wa sallallahu 'ala sayyidina Muhammad wa 'ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhana ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.